It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
Shut up and entertain me.
There's no rules. There's no rules.
Holy sh! It's amazing.
I see her sarcasm and nastiness grow.
This is Davin's Den.
Good evening, everybody. You are listening or watching Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than being punked by K-pop. You can join our chat room, The Den Pen, by going to davincomedy.com and clicking live broadcast. Also, you can watch us on Facebook Live on the Davin's Den page on Facebook. The audio is probably a little better on the davincomedy.com page, but the choice is yours. I believe Joe will be manning the chat as best he can on the Facebook page this evening. I am your host, Davin Rosenblatt. I am joined from a remote location, hiding from the authorities, Joe Curry. Hello, Joe.
Yes, hi. How you doing? How's it going, pal?
It is going well. And trying to get herself back on Zoom because she's working with the Commodore 64, the one and only Pip Helix.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Pip.
It's true.
I think I was being a little generous saying Commodore 64.
Yeah, the Commodore has retired. This is a Ensign computer.
If your computer was a horse, it would be going to the glue factory. It has seen better days.
Oh yeah.
It can't hold a picture. It can't let you type without crapping out, and it can't let you do Zoom. Basically, Pip has a paperweight.
It's done. I just have to get a new one.
It's time. On the show, we got so much to do. The past couple of weeks have been so chocked full of interesting topics. There she is. Hello, Pip.
Hi.
Looks like you have a chalkboard behind you. Your purple screen looks like a blackboard tonight.
No, you know what it is that the sun is coming in dappled through the window. And
dappled.
So it,
dappled.
It, yes, so it gives us an unusual...
I do believe dappled has never been used on this show before.
You know what? We should keep track of new vocabulary words for our listeners.
Good. You just gave yourself a new job. Congratulations.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, that worked out well. What, did you think I was going to do it?
No, but you know what? I just realized I use one of the vocabulary words that I frequently use on the show.
Yes, although I wouldn't be a vocabulary word. It'd be a potty word. Ah, man. The Trump-Tulsa rally. I got to tell you, the conversation is not the conversation I thought we were going to have when I planned to talk about the Trump-Tulsa rally. I kind of thought
really,
it was going to go one way, and it went another way. So that'll be interesting. We have an outstanding display of spite. A worker gets fired from Taco Bell for wearing a Black Lives Matter mask. And then I believe he got rehired again because Taco Bell went back on that. AMC Movie says you don't need to wear a mask in the theaters. And then the next day they said you do need to wear a mask in the theater. A school board in California votes to rename Washington and Jefferson schools. Both were founding fathers and slave owners. There's still a thing, slave auctions for charity. That's still a thing. So we'll talk about whether that should still be a thing. And fake Davin, you know, last week it ended with Lacey, you know. But fake Davin often picks himself up by the bootstraps, or actually dates multiple scammers at the same time, as the case may be. So we got a new one this week. We got Carolyn Fuchs. This one's a little different. They're all a little different. This one's...
You whore.
A little bit, yes. I'm just looking... Fake Davin's just looking for love in all the wrong places. You know, just doing the best I can.
Been there.
Yeah, you know, just hard... I'm a hard luck loser. What are you going to do? You know, I try. I try, but somehow communications always seem to break down. They always seem to leave me wanting. Wanting Amazon gift cards, wanting money, wanting computers from Walmart. They always seem to be wanting when they leave me. Fake Davin is not much of a giver in the things that they want.
That's too bad. I mean, he's a giver in other ways.
Most certainly.
But not in ways they want.
So we will meet Carolyn Fuchs. And like I said, this one's a little bit different. You know, each scammer is different. You kind of get away like, all right, is this going to be a crazy one where we're just going to be ridiculous? Or is this going to be a good one where we got to bring our game a little bit? What are they pining for? How quickly will they make their desires known? I always think that we have, how quickly will we be able to figure out if this is a scammer? It's always new. It's always interesting in the beginning. So What tactics do they use? I think you will enjoy Carolyn. I think there's twists and turns to the story. I think you will enjoy Miss Fuchs, or maybe I'm saying it wrong. Maybe it's Carolyn Fuchs. I don't know. It's Fuchs. It could be Carolyn Fuchs, but
she fucks her prey.
Well, maybe, but. I'll tell you who did not get fucked. Fake Davin. Fake Davin is. But you know, this fake Davin is not a Ghostbuster. We'll see what this one does. but Joe seemed to have an eventful week, judging by his Facebook. Seemed to have a health scare. Seemed to get pissed off at people. So it seemed to be a full week, wasn't it, Joe?
Well, not. I mean, I wasn't pissed off at people. It's just that what happened was on Thursday, starting Wednesday, Thursday, I started to have very light pains in my chest. Very light, you know, nothing stabbing or anything like that. So I'm like, maybe I'll get it checked out. Now, what happened was about 4 years ago, I had an issue. It was the same issue. It turned out I went for a stress test. It turned out it was just, it was just indigestion, literally heartburn. So it was Thursday, and I figured, why don't I make an appointment to go see my doctor? I'll make it for Friday afternoon. You know, or whenever I can get there, and I'll just have it checked out. So I call up the place. I make an appointment for 4 o'clock Friday afternoon. And this was about I made the appointment at about probably about 2:30 on Thursday afternoon. I made that appointment at about 3 o'clock. My doctor calls up and goes, "What's wrong with you?" I go, "Oh, I just have light chest pains. It's nothing big deal. It's what happened 4 years ago. You know, just take a look." He goes, "Go to urgent care right now." I go, "It's not a heart attack. Go to urgent care right now."
Look at you telling the doctor. Look at you giving the doctor medical advice. "It's not a heart attack. Because I know. I can tell. Don't you know who I am? I sell plumbing supplies, damn it."
That's right.
But also giving the doctor an attitude about it. "It's not a heart attack. Don't tell me what to do."
If I'm the doctor, I'm telling you, then piss off. Why are you calling me? If it's no big deal, why are you calling? You lonely?
Right. But the thing about my doctor, and the reason he's been my doctor for almost 23 years, is he takes absolutely no bullshit from me. So he's like, "You don't go to urgent care now. All right? All right. So I go to urgent care, and I go in, and basically I had a better staff when I played Doctor in the Woods than at urgent care, you know?
Wait, well, hold on. What was Doctor in the Woods like?
You never played Doctor in the Woods?
No, I never played in the Doctor in the Woods because I'm not Jeffrey Ross. I'm not Chris D'Elia. I'm not a creep.
No, when you were a kid.
Well, or when they were kids.
I didn't set up a practice in the lot across the street 3 weeks ago, and I'm comparing who runs a better shop.
I don't know, but like, what do you do? What do you do? Like, luring girls, "I'll meet you by the maple"? How's that going down?
No, it's when you're like 12 years old. You're all 12 years old. You know? Let's set up a doctor's office. We'll do it in the lot across the street.
I'm going to be a gynecologist.
Yeah. You know, and then, you know, it's like, "Well, take your temperature," and then, you know, you put a twig in your mouth, you know.
I'm sorry to hear that. I'm sorry to hear that it was a twig.
Hysterical. So I go there, and it's like, you know, they're going to do the EKG. So they have me lying down. I go, "Can I get a pillow just to borrow a pillow just to prop myself up?" And the girl goes, "Oh, here's a pillow to put under your foot." I go, "Under my foot? Oh, I mean under your arm. Okay, good. I guess somebody was absent on anatomy day." So
that's very frightening that she didn't know what part needed the pillow.
Yeah, it's simple shit. You know?
I didn't even know they had pillows at urgent care. I had no idea there was pillows. I said, I didn't even know they had pillows at urgent care. I didn't know you could ask for that.
Well, it's not a hookah lounge with the shit lying around. I mean, you got a couple of spare ones there, you know?
So it's like flying. It's like flying. If you ask for it, they'll give it to you, but you don't get it for free.
Right. So anyway, they take the EKG, and the doctor comes in, and it's the same doctor that told me I didn't, you know, I didn't have COVID back in March. So she comes in, and she goes, here's the deal. She goes, there apparently your heart doesn't generate enough electricity where it registers on the EKG. So I'm like, well, I'm not trying to run the house off of my
chest. He needs jumper cables just to do this show.
I just want my refrigerator, the HVAC, and maybe like a couple of room lights.
In the doctor's defense, it is hard to get electricity out of stone. So, you know.
It's not like National Grid called and said, is it something we said? No. So she goes, you need a better EKG. You're also going to have to do blood work. You're going to have to go to the emergency room. I go, the emergency room? No, that's more money. Are you kidding me? I go, oh, Jesus Christ. All right, whatever. And she goes, do you want us to call an ambulance? I go, for what? And she goes, well, maybe you want the ambulance. I go, an ambulance is going to run a fortune. But call me a town car. No, I don't need that, okay? Well, maybe friends or relatives. My relatives are dead. I have no friends. So I get in the car, and I drive.
And she immediately understood why, so. You're the only one that goes, you know what, it's only my heart. Let's not get crazy with expenses. Let's do this as cheaply as we can. Do you take a Groupon?
On the way to the hospital, I stopped off to Home Depot because I'm trying to figure out how to keep the stupid squirrel out of the bird feeder.
You are an asshole. You are an asshole. the doctor tells you your heart's not running, doesn't have enough electricity, but you're like, first, let me see if I can get an Acme squirrel catcher.
I was going to take care of that over the weekend. But anyway, I get to the emergency room. Very nice step. I went to Huntington Hospital. In the old neighborhood, because the urgent care isn't where I used in the area I used to live. So no, I go there. So they take the EKG and then they do all the blood work and everything they're doing. I'm like, how much is this going to cost? You know,
he's itemizing his own bill as he goes. You're taking a la carte services from the hospital. Wait a minute. Do you need to inject there? Wait. Hold on. How much is that?
No.
I don't want that. Can I substitute a side of saline? How much will that run me?
Joe's like, oxygen? Yeah, oxygen? You're going to charge me for oxygen? I got it all around me. I don't want your stupid oxygen.
Oh, you're there. All right. But anyway, so, you know, the girl hooks up and I go, she goes, we have to take your blood. I'm like, okay. And I go, sometimes they have a problem finding the vein. I go, yeah, sometimes, you know. She goes, well, usually I could always get the vein. Well, she couldn't, so she poked me a couple of times. You know, and
I think the other doctor called.
Yeah. And then, funny. And then they have this other machine they come up, looks like a crane. And I'm like, what the hell is that thing? And they're like, oh, that's the x-ray machine. I go, holy cow, all right. So they take the x-ray, and they do the blood work. And then what they do is they bring you over to an area called the waiting area, the recovery area. It's a cubicle and stuff like that, that they put you in. And they put me in there under the air conditioning. And I'm like, look, I'm sorry, I'm not a princess. I go, could you move me up a little bit? I'm freezing here, you know? So they do that. And then I'm going back and forth. My friend Lenore was texting back and forth, you know, and she goes, how are you doing? I go, should I work on a eulogy with Davin? And I'm like, well, yeah, you might want to brush up.
Do you have a standard one? Don't we have that on file?
It's already written. I'll just add a couple things as needed, but it's pretty much done. I got the first four paragraphs done. I figure four paragraphs, people will walk out after two, so I'm good.
I know you have mine ready.
Yours is gonna. Yours, I'm just gonna bury you like where I bury the cats. This is not gonna be a eulogy.
Well, I'd appreciate that.
So it's, you know, it's funny. I had a dream that I died a couple of weeks ago, and I'm at my grave.
I had that same dream. I had that same dream.
That's a fervent wish. That's not called a dream.
I was sleeping.
So, yeah. I'm looking at my headstone, and I'm like, why is there a little ledge on my headstone? I don't want it. People are going to lean on this damn thing. I go, Probably was Joanne that picked this.
You're even fighting. You're fighting in your dreams. You are fighting in your. Do you understand how miserable you are? Not only do you die in your dreams, but being dead does not stop you from arguing. That's how miserable you are. Because it's your dream, stupid. You put it there. It's your dream. Don't blame her.
I understand, but I wasn't happy with what I saw. It wasn't the headstone I wanted.
Well, it was your dream. Dream better. It's your fault. Have better dreams.
I understand it. Well, next time I dream of my headstone, there won't be a shit on it. You know?
Joe is definitely going to haunt someone after he passes. Because he's still going to have arguments to have.
Oh, my God.
He's still going to... Yeah, he's going to have his point of view. He's going to be pushing things across the room to get them to pay attention.
Oh, my God. I was talk about unfinished business.
You're going to be a poltergeist.
Joe's going to flatline. Joe's going to flatline. His little spirit will either go up or down, and the first thing he'll say is, and furthermore.
That's what should be on my headstone.
I was just going to say that has to be on your headstone. And furthermore.
These damn snowflakes.
So back to the hospital. So I'm in the thing. Now what they do is they have to take the blood test. Now what the blood test is if you have a heart attack, your heart lets out it's trying to save itself, but lets out an enzyme to do something. Mm-hmm. So what they do is they test for this enzyme. So they took the first test and there was no enzyme there, so far so good. So they said, we're just going to take another test in a little bit. Of course, because that's more money. I can't wait to see the bill on this.
Don't you have insurance? Don't you have insurance?
Yeah, but you know what? You got to pay the copay. Only, you know, there's another amount that you got to pay out of pocket.
It's just you. Well, who else do you have to spend money on? It's just you, stupid.
I understand, but I'd rather not spend it on something I knew I didn't really need in the first place.
If you didn't need it, why did you call urgent care?
My doctor sent me to urgent care. I just wanted to...
Because your doctor felt you needed it, stupid. Holy shit!
For fun.
Just for shits and giggles.
Yeah. So anyway, it was 8 o'clock. I'm sitting there, it's 8 o'clock, and I got the cold blowing on me, so I'm trying to catch some Z's. Maybe I could do that. So I asked the woman to bring over, can I get a blanket? So they bring over a blanket, and it's warm and stuff like that. And I'm like, wow. I go, I hope this is a clean blanket. And I'm like, stupid, you're not on the road at the, you know, at the super rate. I go, it's a hospital. They clean it, it's sanitized, it's warm. You couldn't get a fucking better blanket if you, you know, anywhere than this blanket, you know? So I'm sitting there, so I'm on Facebook. And I see that the governor's opened an open air area to do stand up. So it was the grand opening. I'm like, well, maybe when I got to the hospital, I'll stop out for a drink, you know. So it turns out that
maybe get some cheese fries while you're there.
Oh my God, he's planning his pub crawl after the urgent care visit. Yeah. Unbelievable.
I was in the ER now, so I'm like, as soon as I get out of the ER at this time, I'll stop off at the club for a drink, you know. That's what they're doing, you know. So, but there was no time for a drink because now it's 10 o'clock and now it's 10:30 and now it's getting to be 11 o'clock. Meanwhile, there's some guy walking around loudly moaning, oh, 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 and I go, I guess he saw his copay.
I'll tell you what, the audacity of these sick people to moan like they're ill in a hospital. Who the hell do they think they are? Don't they know they have you?
Shut up. You know, I mean, the guy's making all sorts of racket. We get it. You're in pain. We get it. This isn't the lounge on the freaking Caribbean Princess. We're in the fucking ER. We get it. We're all in pain. We're here for a reason.
You are a very bitter, horrible. I was going to say human being, but I don't want to insult other human beings. But creature.
Well, I'm saying this to myself. I can't make that much of a ruckus. They have needles in his place. One of the nurses comes by, and she comes up with this contraption, and I'm like, I see you got your computer. You like to leave. You don't like to leave it around. You like to bring it around on a cart. Once again, nothing. So he goes, I'm just going to get. He goes, but I'm going to give you a cup of Maalox. And I'm like, oh, a little shot glass. These are handy. and I do a shot of that, and then she puts something into my IV, and I go, what's that? And she goes, that's Prilosec. And I go, wow, you got Prilosec on an IV? She goes, yeah, with a hospital, stupid. So, so she gave
you me... You had a heckler in the emergency room. That's nice.
Yeah, right? So she gave me that, and I was feeling a lot, you know, I was starting to feel a lot better. So I guess it is, it was indigestion. So she comes by, and now, you know, it's 10 o'clock, now it's 11 o'clock, and I'm like, wow, I'm not getting home till after 12. I go, I wish I lived at the old house, I would have been home in 10 minutes, but now, you know, I live out here, so that's a 40-minute ride. So they told me, okay, look, the second test is good, you know, you're fine, go see your doctor. I go, I have an appointment with him tomorrow. All right, bring these and show him what we have. So I get out of there and I go home. Then I go to see my doctor the next day, and he goes, did you go? I go, yeah, I went. I go, here's the paperwork. He goes, just leave it there. All right, let me take a look at you. Yeah. And he looks at it, and I go, he goes, yeah, you're going to have a stress test. I go, but it was acid in your chest. He goes, you're a diabetic. You need a stress test. And I go, because the diabetics are special. The first laugh I got out of the whole freaking ordeal, I finally landed with the doc. I go, that's very funny. I go, you should see the ones I was trying to tell at the emergency room. Tough room there. Because he knows I'm a stand-up. Yeah.
I know. It's like they're surrounded by a bunch of stiffs who are dying. Why aren't they laughing?
Yeah, you know, no fun. So I got to schedule the stress test. And he goes, what's the name of your cardiologist? I go, I forgot. And I go, I guess that's a good thing, you know, that I don't know the guy on a first name basis. So he looks the guy up, and I remember the guy, very nice doctor, very good doctor. So I got to schedule the appointment to have the stress test on. The only, you know, and like I said, yeah, I'm a stubborn mule. But when I was up at my nephew's farm, he has train tracks on the hill. And you know me with trains, I'm a stunad, so I like to go up and look at the train come by. So the train was coming by, and I'm going up the hill, and I was getting a little winded more than usual. And I'm like, wow. I go, they don't get that winded. So, you know, maybe it's a good thing.
You think? You think maybe it's a good thing? The two of you.
I call it a flipper nudge. When something happens in life. Remember, I don't know if you remember that. You remember in Flipper when the shark would come attack the boys and Flipper would nudge into the shark and save the day? I call that a flipper nudge. I call that a flipper nudge. When something has happened and Flipper comes in and pushes it out of the way so the right thing happens.
I don't remember Flipper nudging. But I get what you're saying.
Joe is the only person who would be in the water with a shark. Flipper would come and nudge him, and Joe would yell at Flipper.
No, I wouldn't yell at Flipper.
Yeah, you would. You did it wrong. Didn't you see I was going to make friends with the shark? I have one on my phone. We know each other. What, Flipper, what are you doing? I surrounded myself with blood in the water. Why are you doing this, Flipper? You're the only one who would yell at Flipper for saving you.
No, I like Flipper. No, Flipper's a good boy.
You yelled at your doctor for trying to save you, all the while you're stopping at Home Depot and planning your pub crawl afterwards.
Because I knew it wasn't a heart attack.
So, you know what? The next time when you have that pain, don't call the doctor, call Domino's. All right?
What I'm doing is I'm having Maalox. I'm taking Maalox. I think the doctor at the urgent care goes, do you have any children's aspirin? I go, yeah, in my van, too, with some rope. What are you...
I take.
There you go, Joe. This is what you need.
I take one of them every day. I got one of them every day. I got a prescription for it.
Yeah, that's good.
Oh, yeah.
This is the stuff.
Yeah. Now he wants me to take a an antacid every morning. One of the Prilosec every morning.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
See, my problem is that I eat better. Like when I smoked. I smoked those cigars, and I smoked Marlboro Black 100s, and it used to wreak havoc with my stomach. When I quit, I really didn't have all that acid reflux before, but I drink coffee, like a ridiculous amount of coffee every day, you know, and that's probably
what I hear you. That,
you know? So, yeah. I'll go, we'll see. I'm just dreading what the bill is going to be.
Don't worry about the bill. It's your health. You have no kids. You have no wife. You have no pets. Spend it on yourself, stupid. It's your health. Really?
Yeah, I understand that, but
I don't think you do.
Crip or a Chevy SSR convertible, shit like that.
You're not going to buy that shit. You're going to buy shit that you can load your keyboard into and your 30 suitcases when you hit the road for comedy. You're not going to buy a sports car. Who are you fucking kidding? Who are you kidding? You're not going to do that. Unless all of a sudden you're going to... Unless you're breaking up with Joe's girl and going to try to get 25-year-olds like your pal, you're not doing that shit. So spend it on your health, you fucking moron.
I'm not going to do what I wanted to do when I moved. When I moved, and this is 3 years ago. I'll be in my house 3 years on the 28th. When I moved, I wanted to get like a Chevy SSR, you know, or get one, and as or at least another car, you know, the second car. I can't afford one.
Your phone just crapped out.
Yeah, you're breaking up. You're breaking up.
Still bad. Still bad. Ooh. Sounds like you're underwater with Flipper.
Flipper just nudged the audio.
Flipper nudged the shark on his phone. No, it's terrible.
Yeah, your voice is pixelated.
It was like the phone had enough of this shit.
How is this now?
That's good.
Oh, there you go.
That's
wonderful. I got to hold the phone all fucking night.
Don't fucking blame us. We didn't do shit. Yell at Urgent Care for the phone.
Yeah.
You sound nice and crisp, though.
Yeah, well, I don't feel like holding the phone all night.
Well, on the second break, I will call you guys back like we do, because Pip's phone gets tired of this shit and hangs up when it feels like it.
It's a diva. It just goes, that's it.
And hopefully we can solve your phone issues. And, you know, on the break, you can put down the phone, but don't fucking blame us. Get some duct tape and strap it to your head, stupid. It's not our fault. Don't roll your eyes at me. I can see you, prick.
I would die.
He rolls his eyes at me. Like, this is like I have. This is my fault at all. He's blaming everybody.
Did I once blame anybody?
You're blaming. I feel it. You're blaming.
You don't blame. No, I didn't say a word.
Yeah, good. It's my favorite part.
Oh, God.
He
calls me the awful human being.
No, I said you weren't a human being. You're not paying attention. I called you a creature. I called you an awful creature.
Well, thank
that
you
makes it better.
Well, I mean, I didn't want. I consider Pip a human being. I didn't want to insult Pip.
Oh well, I mean, thank you, but I don't know that you're so right about that either.
Why? Did you do something? Did you do something wretched?
No, actually, not recently. But there's. It's on the horizon. I feel it.
I was actually very social this weekend. I think I'm done. I was very social.
The kid graduated.
So obviously
that's right.
It wasn't the normal graduation. You had to pull up and get her diploma. It was nice. They had the town mascot there, and you know, all the teachers and high school kids waving and everything. You know, they made it as nice as they could make it. But you know, you got to wait online. You're just like waiting online forever with all these cops. There's a couple of cops, but with all these other people, the cops are standing there. I feel bad for the cops. I waved at the pretty female cop because she's standing there. What are you gonna do? You're gonna wave. I gotta give her this. I feel like in real life she's probably petite because she didn't look like massive. Like a lot of female cops look massive because they have all that equipment on. Even with all that equipment, she didn't look massive. So my daughter got the the Golden Presidential Award, which is in this school is if you go your whole middle school career having a 90 average or better every marking period.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah, no, yeah. I think she graduated high honors. She killed it. We did have this like interesting conversation because she had good grades before COVID-19, but then like after COVID-19, I guess a lot of kids stopped doing work. I don't know. My daughter did work, but you know, at times they would give tests and it's like open book. It wasn't announced, but it wasn't said you couldn't use the book. And like the three of us, me, my wife, my daughter, had a conversation. My wife's like upset. It's like, oh, you know, you cheated. I'm like, it's not cheating. I go, it'd be stupid if she didn't use the book. It's there. Other people are using the book. I'd be pissed off at her if she didn't use it to her advantage.
Yeah,
Why not? It's an open book test?
Well, yeah. I don't know if it was announced open book. I don't think it was announced open book, but it wasn't don't use your book. So, yeah, I mean, every kid is at home. So, what, my kids? It's not like if they signed something that said, you know, the honor system, all right, then don't do that. But they didn't sign anything. Fucking take advantage. That's life, baby.
Yeah, why not? In real life, if you don't know the answer for something, you go on the internet and find it.
Yes.
You know, there's a lot of times I need to learn to be an expert on something pretty damn quick, you know, and you look it up and you read and you figure it out.
Or at the very least, a political debate on Facebook. You know, you need to learn shit.
Something like that, yeah.
So what we do...
That's what you really do, but you have to know what source to go to. And it's pretty much what a lot of the things is that there should be an overview, but they should be teaching kids where to go, not just Google, but where to go for the primary source of what they're looking for.
No, it's different. When we were growing up, you had to go to the card catalog, and you had to know the Dewey Decimal System to find the reference book you wanted, or you needed to know the alphabet for the encyclopedia. It's different now. All the kids know how to find shit pretty quickly, and if they don't, they ask us. But it's not like when we grew up. Life is much quicker now. They can find things a lot more quickly, and that's not a bad thing. So what we did was she hadn't seen her friends since, you know, school shut down mid-March. So what we did outside is we set up the movie projector, had her closest friends come over, social distance, had a movie outside, had the fire pit going for s'mores, had ice cream sundaes. The kids were just so happy to see each other. So we did that. And
that's nice.
So we let my daughter pick the movie Velocipastor, which is as awful as you would expect. Like some type of pastor like turns into a dinosaur and starts biting people. They pick really terrible movies so they can make fun of it. And so at one point the movie froze. So I had to go out and see what was going on. And it froze, like, I guess there was like a love scene, but they were like in underwear. So like you just see on the big screen in my backyard in front of all these like 13 and 14 year old girls, like a young man's ass in underwear. and my wife's like, what are they watching? How could this be? We should have pre-screened. I go, well, you let the daughter pick it. And I go, in her defense, her friends recommended it. So don't blame me. Don't blame the daughter. Blame the friends. The friends recommended the movie. You're the one who didn't screen it. So there you go. It's fine. Like, she was worried about what other parents might think, and I'm, like, at the point where I don't give a fuck.
The neighbors who were creeping on you and watching are like, what's happening now?
No, the next night was neighbor movie night. The next night we had some of the neighbors come over. Because it's outside. You know, you can social distance safely. You can socialize. And the outside, the bad part about the outside movie is you know, bugs. You throw in some long clothes. So we did that. It's so the new neighbor, she had quite the interesting story. I guess when she was in her 20s, she went out of town and she had two rabbits and her friend was looking after the rabbits. And I guess the one rabbit wanted to do what rabbits all the time want to do. And the other rabbit was not so into it. The other rabbit was saving itself for marriage, I suppose. I don't know. So
the rabbit in the Me Too movement now?
The rabbit was the rabbit was in the Me Too movement. So this rabbit, I guess, got so frazzled by being chased by wanting to thump her all the time that the rabbit jumped from the 11th floor.
No way.
And I'll tell you something about rabbits. They're not like tigers. They don't bounce. So the rabbit dies. Her friend calls her while she's away. It's like, you know, I got bad news for your rabbit died, but here's the good news. I have it in the fridge for you for when you come back.
That's not the good news.
Well, that way it's preserved. That's the way it's preserved. Nobody likes spoiled, flattened rabbit. So she comes back. To collect her rabbit. You know, I guess you got to move the gold cuts out of the way to get the rabbit.
Oh my god.
She gets the rabbit, and she gets it stuffed. by a taxidermist.
The rabbit?
She got the rabbit stuffed by a taxidermist. And, like, the taxidermist is like, you know, this is very unusual. And I go, how is this unusual? This is what you do. Your whole gig is unusual. You see dead animals, you fill them up with shit so people can preserve them. Your whole fucking job is unusual and creepy. How is this any more unusual than a normal day? But here's the kicker. I guess the rabbit had blue eyes, but the taxidermist put in brown eyes.
Oh, no.
Maybe there was a special. I don't know. Maybe it was like out of blue eyes. You know, this is before Amazon. So you just got to.
Oh, God.
So now she has the still to this day, you know, 20 years later, 30 years later, whatever it is. My neighbor has this stuffed rabbit in her house. And I said, you should put it in the window to scare away the Jehovah's Witnesses.
Doesn't that rabbit seem awfully still?
Yeah, and how come this rabbit is coming out of the lettuce? You know what? I'm waiting for a friend. Yeah.
I'll tell you what, this rabbit had four rabbit's feet, and none of them were lucky. Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
really.
You. Thank you. So,
why doesn't she get the eyes changed out?
Oh, come on. I mean, how much more do you have to do to this rabbit? The rabbit's been dead for 20, 30 years. Now you're going to start putzing around with it? I mean, come on.
It's not my rabbit.
You know what I would do? I would put sunglasses on the rabbit.
Let me tell you something. That rabbit should have been in a bag on the way to the dump 2 minutes after it face planted.
Well, I mean, you know, I understand wanting to keep the rabbit for her, but I don't know about putting it in the fridge. That might be a garage scenario, but if you don't have an outside area, I guess, you know, you don't want the wild animals to get it, but...
Oh, my God. You come home and you're like, ham, Swiss, pets. Oh, crap.
This is the one rabbit that wanted to stay a virgin. Don't you fuck me. I barely know you.
Now, wouldn't it be funny if she caught the other rabbit trying to hump the stuffed rabbit?
Oh, that'd be tremendous. That'd be a very frustrated rabbit.
Well, she seems a little rigid.
It seems like a terrible ending for a rabbit that didn't want to get stuffed at all.
Oh, wow.
We see what you did.
Look at you.
Thank you.
How ironic. Ironic taxidermy jokes by Pip Helix.
Yeah. Thank you.
Be a new weekly feature.
Day.
You just dabbled in that. No, that'd be dabbled in it. You didn't dapple.
I dabbled. I didn't dapple.
Yes.
This is dappling.
And then the next day we had my parents come over for Father's Day. So I, you know, there was back to back to back socializing for somebody who doesn't socialize that much to begin with, but let alone since COVID-19. I'm like, you know what? Back to the basement for 6 months. Everybody will be happier that way.
I was going to say, you got it all out of the way in one fell swoop. I'm surprised you're not in a fetal position.
No, by Sunday night I was tired. Sunday night, you know, that's a lot. It's a lot of people. It's a lot of people in a short amount of time.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, by the way, happy Father's Day.
Oh, thank you, Joe. Very kind of you.
Yeah, happy Father's Day.
Thank you, Pip. Very kind of you.
I did tell you, but again.
What'd you get for Father's Day?
I think they're getting me... I think the latest Star Wars on Blu-ray. I don't know. I'm very difficult. Like, what do you want? I don't know. I don't need anything.
Yeah.
What? What'd you two say?
What?
What'd you say that you're laughing at? I didn't hear you.
You said I'm very difficult, and we're like, yeah, no shit.
Ah.
Just stop the fucking presses on that one.
All right, happy birthday to you too. All right, enough. No, but I mean, you know, it's like, because I'm the type of person, I've talked about this, if I want something, I get something. It's not like there's new music out, there's not, what, new books? I'm going to get John Bolton's book? Fuck that guy. I'm not getting John Bolton's book.
Yeah, no.
For free. Somebody already put it out on YouTube or something like
that. I think
that.
They put it out on Twitter. That guy. Oh, Trump's a real danger. But I'm not going to say shit during the impeachment. I'm going to wait to capitalize on it. But I'm going to make my subordinates testify so they lose their jobs. Fuck John Bolton. I know a lot of Republicans feel that way now after they loved his ass for years. But I think liberals have been pretty consistent with it. They're still fuck John Bolton. It's like, this guy's no hero.
Yeah.
I mean,
just another log on the fire of fuck John Bolton.
Yeah, another guy who worked closely with Donald Trump, who fucking bit his tongue the whole time he was there, but now tells the same exact story. Fuck you. You know, don't call yourself a patriot. Don't give me the country's in danger, which I think it is, but clearly you don't. You just want to make profits. Fuck you. I'm not interested.
Everybody you know, and every politician, always has a book. Anytime you look at CNN, talk radio, Fox, everybody that comes on, everybody's got a book. Everybody's just trying to sell a book. That's pretty much the bottom line.
That's fine. But don't tell me how terrible this guy is, which I happen to believe he is. But don't tell me how terrible he is, and you can do something. You can actually do something about it during the impeachment hearings and then go, well, the Democrats didn't look into enough shit. There was plenty of things to impeach him on. Really? Maybe you should have said that shit under fucking oath, you motherfucker, you.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm sorry. Listen, and that's why I said, you know, when Kelly came out and agreed with Matt, at least Mattis had the fucking good decency to resign. At least Mattis resigned when it was finally enough was enough with the Kurds and everything. But Kelly comes out, who's the general, president's chief of staff, goes, yeah, Mattis was right. Yeah, well, why the fuck? But you used to fucking shovel this guy's shit. Now he's right? Fuck you. You guys are supposed to be so brave. You can't go against the guy who hosted The Apprentice when it fucking mattered? Are you fucking kidding me? You pussies, you. I'm sorry. I know there's probably some liberals that are like, oh, so thankful for this shit. But, I mean, really, people's minds are made up on Donald Trump. You either love him or you hate him. There's no in-between with this guy anymore. It's been almost...
So they did that guy. People know that. So we're like, all right, I'll work for him. You'll fire me. I'll write a book.
Yeah, well, okay. At least that makes sense.
It's all a fucking racket with these guys.
You know? It is.
I mean, on the Anthony Cumia show, he had Scaramucci on. And... he's working the camp. He's working, a liberal camp, not a liberal, a Democratic campaign and stuff like that. You know, and wherever the money is, he'll go. You know.
Now, but at least Mooch wasn't in there for that long. You know, it's
like, he was there for a week.
He was there for, but
did he last a week?
But what I'm saying, like 10 days. But what I'm saying is, like, I don't look at him and go, well, you could have done something. You weren't there that long. But when you got Bolton and Mattis and Kelly, it's like, you guys were there. And again, I hold Mattis a little bit differently because at least he finally fucking resigned. But it's like, it's like, you know, a lot of people believe this is a shit show. Don't fucking tell me. What are you adding to the conversation now, telling me he's dangerous, incompetent, impetuous? But why didn't you tell us when you could have? It doesn't matter now when you're just a fucking civilian looking to hawk a book, as Joe would say. Fuck you.
Yeah, but that guy, he's always been lurking around that guy.
Who? You know? Bolton?
Every administration. Yeah, Bolton. Every administration, he's always lurking around.
No, that's not true. Not the Obama administration. He was not lurking around there. He was at Fox News. But, I mean, that's...
I'm saying in the arena, whether it's you know, on staff or commenting about policy, he's one of those guys that's always lurking around.
Now, on the same token, though, I can't take conservatives seriously who are going to run down Mattis, Kelly, Bolton, everything. It's like, you guys fucking loved them, or Donald Trump even running down. You loved them. He was on your team, especially Bolton. You love Bolton. Nobody ever called John Bolton a liar. I mean, nobody's ever called Bolton a liar.
Right.
So don't fucking say you can't trust these guys now, or they're liars, or this, that, the other. No, no. You were just rooting for them until they started to pimp the book. You have to believe what they're saying. These are not liberals that got upset, that grabbed their little pussy hats after Hillary lost. That's not this either. So they should be paying attention. I just can't take the liberals that are kissing their ass, and I don't think there's been a lot of them, but if there are, I can't take them. I can't take the conservatives that are running them down, and I can't take them, you know, going, getting the vapors. Oh my, he's a real danger. If only there was something we could have done. I can't take that. The whole fucking thing is a shit show. I can't. Nobody's got any goddamn principles. I can't take it.
You know, it's amazing. We've been doing this show, going 9 years now?
Yeah, something like that.
And we've done political commentary on it, you know, almost every show. For you to finally realize it's a racket, I find interesting.
No, but this is such, this is, Listen, yes, I've realized it's a racket, but this is such an obvious one. This is don't tell me this guy. We can't have another 4 years of Donald Trump. Don't tell me he's a danger. Don't tell me about all the shitty shit he was doing. And not only did you not do anything about it when you were there, but you had the opportunity during an impeachment process where it actually might have made a difference, and you let your subordinates take the bullet, lose their careers over this shit because they had the fucking cojones to testify. I can't take it. I can't take these people. That's why, you know, I'd never be good in politics. I can't take all the bullshit and like, oh, now I don't believe you because you're not on my team, or now I do believe you because you're saying shit I want to believe. I can't take it. It's bullshit.
That's been politics for the life of this country.
Yeah, but Bolton is more egregious than we've seen in a long time. I mean,
But I tell you, I read a couple of books on Lincoln, and those Lincoln-Douglas debates were brutal. And we're talking like over 165 years ago. Brutal. So nothing in politics has changed, or will it change?
No.
No.
This precedent has changed a lot about politics. Things have certainly changed, and I just laugh all the time when my conservative friends, my Trumpsters, are cheering all this shit, like executive orders, which they got the vapors. Obama's using the executive orders. Oh, my. And now Trump uses them all the time, and eventually there'll be a Democratic president again. Will it be Biden or somebody else down the road? I don't know. Whatever it is. But then they'll get the vapors again, like wringing their hands. Oh, this the democracy, the Constitution, the secrecy. I can't take it. It's like, you motherfuckers, you didn't give a shit for 4 years. Fuck you. See, that's the one thing about me. You got it? And I said before, I'm fucking consistent. If Biden does the shit that Trump said, I'll be fucking calling him out too. It's like either you have principles or you're a part of a team. That's what those are the choices. You have a team and you just root blindly for that team, or you go, you know what? I don't like this no matter who's doing this. I disagree with it because that offends me. Whatever it is. So I can't take it, but whatever.
I think people, just on closing on that, I think you get people that go in with that ideology, and then when they actually get in there and see what goes on and they get caught up with it, you know, it's just you lose faith in it, and then you're like, you know what, you either leave it or you stay in it, and then you write a book, you know?
I guess.
It's the way it is.
I think what throws so many of the media and the politicians is Donald Trump doesn't have an ideology. We haven't, at least in modern times, we haven't seen a president before this president where you go, okay, I know he believes this, that, the other thing. You know, push comes to shove, I know this is his line on these things because he's always fought for these things. This is what he'll give you some wiggle room on this stuff over here. He doesn't really care about this, but these things he cares about. Trump doesn't have that. I said. You know, before I thought Trump was a racist. Now I think he's a racist. But years ago, I gave him a chance. I said he's a Trumpist, and that's true. Donald Trump's ideology is what's good for Donald Trump, and I think that blows all these people's minds. I think that blew John Bolton's mind. He's like, I never saw Donald Trump do something that wouldn't help him get reelected. Like, this was a fucking surprise. Why? Just because you were on Fox News hanging out with Hannity, you never fucking saw this before, and then you're working with him, and then you're not there, you're like, well, I'm going to write a book about it. Fuck you! We know this shit.
Yeah,
can't take it.
What was really interesting is that even Bolton was saying that Trump's ideology was not consistent because, you know, he was blowing by whatever his whim was of the day, and what he might say on Monday, he might say, you know, the complete opposite on Wednesday, depending on how the wind was blowing in his brain.
Again, is John Bolton new? I mean, it's. It's like such surprise. Oh, I could not have imagined. Couldn't imagine. It's been on full display. It's been on full display for years. Did you think because you have a magic mustache, you were going to change things?
That is a magic mustache, by the way.
He twinks his little mustache like a bewitched. Bolton had a reputation as being very hawkish. So
yes.
Maybe they, you know. maybe some of the policy didn't match up with what Trump wanted to do. Trump wanted to...
But Trump knew that. Trump looks at these guys' policies? Trump saw him on TV. That's where Trump gets all of his people. He saw him on Fox News. Goes, I want him next to me. Until I don't want him next to me. Trump has taken so many people from TV. Like, yeah, we all knew that Bolton likes to bomb shit. We all knew that. And that's not really Trump. Trump talks a lot about once in a while he'll get out there. But if you look at him, he doesn't really like to bomb that much shit. Certainly not like a lot of the neocons. Certainly not like Dick Cheney or John Bolton. That's never been Donald Trump. Say what you want about him. If there's anything that's somewhat consistent, it's that. He doesn't like dropping bombs.
Well, even though, like I said, when Bolton was retained, I go, gee whiz, he's very hawkish. I wonder how this is going to work out. Well, we see.
You knew how it was going to work out. What you thought he was going to make it the whole way, whether it was 4 or 8 years. You thought he was going to survive? No, you didn't. You knew it was going to end badly.
No, I didn't think so.
No, they all end badly. They all end badly. I'm impressed that Kellyanne Conway's lasted this long.
Oh God, yeah. Shocked.
You know what's funny, and then we'll take a break. So I guess on March 18th, a reporter said to Kellyanne Conway, one of your staffers said Kung Flu. And Kellyanne's like, which staffer? No, tell me. You're going to tell me because that's very offensive. I want you to tell me because I don't like that. That's very offensive. Tell me which staffer. And I guess they never named the staffer. Fast forward to Saturday. The staffer was Donald Trump. Donald Trump's the one who said Kung Flu. So is Kellyanne Conway going to call him on the carpet? I think not. But it's just like, come on. Which staffer? The fucking boss, stupid. That's the staffer. It was the boss who said it. Are you going to say anything? No, Kellyanne. You're going to fucking write some of your husband's tweets and fucking send them out when you get home as him. That's what you're going to do. That's how you're going to release some steam. You're going to do George Conway's greatest hits on his fucking Twitter feed.
It must be a very weird dynamic between Kelly and George because basically, you know, obviously he's a spokesman for the president and, you know, and policy and all that. And the husband can't stand Trump, stops at nothing to, critique policy, how he acts and stuff like that. I mean, I wonder what breakfast is like in that fucking house.
But look at, if you...
I know, I wondered the same thing.
I'll tell you what it is. Here's what it is, because if Kellyanne Conway, before she became part of the Trump team at the end of the campaign, fucking hated Donald Trump. Well, said all these awful things about Donald Trump. Then when she got the gig, you know, she's saying all these nice things. You know what the conversation at the breakfast table is? They're both bitching about Donald Trump. That they're both fucking agreeing, but they're having the last level. Yeah, but we're drawing a paycheck. So
yeah, but that's where the money is. Like there was one, you know, I worked at one fence company that was really good. There was another fence company around that wasn't very good, and you know, they had good commercials, but they weren't that trustworthy and blah blah blah. Well, next thing you know, I'm chasing for money, and I'm running one of their stores. And it's just the way the world. I mean, I lasted one season with them. I didn't last long. I don't like the way they did business. Plus, it got slow. But I never was so happy to get laid off or let go because I didn't like that. And a lot of it was the ideology of that business. I worked at a fence company that was extremely customer service oriented. And then I went to run one. I was a manager there. And then, you know, 2 years later, I met another one that's extremely not customer service oriented. I am very customer service oriented. So I used to get, you know, they didn't like the way I did some things. You know, it's just, you know, you get in and sometimes you say negative stuff, and now you're on staff, and now you got to say nice things, and you got to try to go with the policy because you're going where the money is. As I got older, sometimes that's not the best thing.
You know? I think it's different when you're talking about fences and when you're talking about running the country. So
but yes and no. At the stakes aren't as high as you're running a country, but just the bare bones essence of it is kind of the same. You know?
Yeah, I mean,
they do have the commonality of both wanting to build fences.
I see what you did there.
Policy, it's just a policy on how the business gets done day to day in that entity.
At the end of the day, it comes to the
White House or a fence company. You know,
it's principles.
On a smaller scale, if you have a difference in ideology, It could be a problem. You know.
Well, the difference is, Joe. Joanne wasn't anger tweeting at your boss.
I wonder how that would have gone.
Well, like I said, I gave it a generalization, you know, with a bare bones example, and a generalization across many staffers at the White House or at a business entity. It is a very interesting dynamic when you come home from work and you have to dance around things and backspin stuff that your husband wrote about that day or tweeted. Yeah, it could be a little, you know.
Well, he's actively trying to get Biden elected. He's part of the Lincoln Project. And the conservatives, I don't know if they're Republicans or not, but the ones who are conservatives, part of that Lincoln Project, they put out funny ads. They've killed a lot of Democrats. These minds that are behind the Lincoln Project, these conservative minds, have had a lot of dead good Democratic candidates, and they've dismissed them with the creativity they have, and now they're using against Donald Trump. And these ads, they're very funny. I mean, a Trumpster might not like it, a Trumpster might cry, but I mean, they're just very funny. It's certainly better than anything the Democrats ever put out, anything that the Superman. It's interesting to watch conservatives turn and use this controlled evil on their own.
Well, let me tell you something. If the ads are funny and working against Trump, I mean, Biden has got the personality of a fire hydrant and the memory of one as well.
No.
So they got to do everything they can to try to, you know, to get him out there.
But he doesn't have to do much. He doesn't listen at this point, and, you know, we'll get into a little bit more of the next segment maybe. But at this point, if you're running against Donald Trump, you don't have to do much. Donald Trump runs against Donald Trump. This isn't like before. This isn't like before when it was kind of eccentric, exciting, and fun, and there wasn't a political track record. It's a whole new ball game out there. We have a track record, and you know, you can just kind of sit back. First of all, he's doing the responsible thing. Well, we'll get into it later. But I'm just saying, I don't think you have to do. You don't have to do much because one personality is so overwhelming and has consumed the country for 4+ years, if you go back from 2015, that you don't have to try to be as big as that. It's actually a nice contrast when you have somebody's like, all right, you make all the ruckus over here. I'm going to talk about what I would do and some policy over there. It's a nice contrast. So we'll see how it works out. We'll get into it maybe more in the next segment. Let's take our first break. On the break, we have new music from Aria with Coming Home and Ray Ramone with Coo Baby. And you can learn more about both artists at deucemusic.com. Short break, and then we'll be back with, we're going to talk about this Tulsa rally. There's a lot of interesting components in it. So I'll give you guys like the whole rundown of it, all the things that happened, and then we'll get into it. Then we have outstanding displays of spite, and then we got things with you know, face masks and everything, them being politicized and slaves and.
I'm not lost, but that's not to say I don't make life hard. Sometimes I get in my own way. Confused, can't always tell what is right from me.